Cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before. Cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore.
Santa Cruz, Immortal Technique on Free Radio 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. So in case you haven't heard, Ray Charles died. Ronald Reagan died too. I'm sure you've heard about that. And, you know, I don't generally wish death on anyone. I don't especially wish a long, slow, painful, revolting, withering away kind of death. That's not the kind of thing I wish on anyone, even my worst enemies. But if I did, I think Reagan would be right on top of that list. So I've already, you know, been verbally attacked at this point for my lack of respect. I think it's a healthy lack of respect. And with Ray Charles here playing in the background, I'm going to pay a little respect to him, but stay tuned for the antidote to some of the propaganda you've been hearing on the radio. I listen to KCBS sometimes. That's the corporate media that I listen to in the car when I need the traffic report or some depressing news. I listened to a Bush press conference today. That was pretty entertaining. Heard him duck questions from the BBC about torture by completely skirting the question, repeating things he'd already said incorrectly, but just repeating them nonetheless. And we've been hearing a good amount about the values of Reagan and that he was a really important part of turning this country around, and that, you know, the late 70s were a time of shame and uncertainty, and Reagan, you know, steered the ship and got us going and told America that it was great and that we could still be great. And, you know, I'm still sitting here thinking all that shame and guilt is kind of productive. I think some of y'all need to look at that. Some of us need to check our guilt and see what we can do with it. Some of the white guilt, some of the white privilege, some of the unresolved, internalized issues we're all carrying around. Anyways, I'm sitting here laughing at myself. You're listening to Free Radio. I'm DJ Daniel Sun. If you want to tell me I have no respect for President Reagan, please give me a call. 427-3772 is the Defend Reagan line. Otherwise, listen to Brother Ray and stay tuned for the voice of Greg Palast and others on the theme of the real legacy of Ronnie, the Gipper, Newt, the Junkie. Anyways, stay tuned.
Santa Cruz, 101 FM.
Target locked on.
pirate radio at its finest.
There's an unlicensed broadcast station here, and we want to make sure that you stop operating.
There is?
Nothing you have heard before will prepare you for this. The sound of radio is being revolutionized by the masters.
Go!
Is anybody listening out there?
FCC, you know what that means?
Yeah, it means Federal Communications Commission. They can drive around and triangulate wherever the hell a radio signal is coming from.
Yeah, so fuck it, right?
Good idea!
Freak Radio, Santa Cruz, 101 FM, for freakradio.org.
Good idea. You know I'm hooked for your mama. That's why you sling your weight around. You know I'm hooked for your mama. That's why you sling your weight around. Ah, but as long as your loving beats your bargain, little girl, I'll never put you down. You argue when I leave for work. You argue when I get home. And everything I try to do for you, you always say that I'm wrong. I bring you home all my money, except the little I keep for expense. And when I get home to your mama, you always tell me, Ray, you ain't got no sense. But on the other hand, baby, you I can't understand. Ah, but when you put your love in me, forget about everything. I think about the lousy way you treat me. You're always raising sin. I know that you know that I know that you've got another man. Half the time when I'm at home, I have to go to a cafe and eat. And when you argue all night long, I have to go down in the den and sleep. But on the other hand, baby, your loving eases all my pain. And when you put your loving arms around me, honey, you make old Ray forget about everything.
The late great Ray Charles, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1. The late great Ray Charles. Sorry about that. All right. So, what I'm looking for here. There we go. All right. Killer, coward, con man. Good riddance, Ronnie Reagan. More proof, only the good die young. By Greg Palast. You're not going to like this. You shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but in this case, someone's got to. Ronald Reagan was a con man. Reagan was a coward. Reagan was a killer. In 1987, I found myself stuck in a crappy little town in Nicaragua called Chanaquillo. The people were kind enough, though hungry, except for one surly young man. His wife had just died of tuberculosis. People don't die of TB if they can get some antibiotics, but Ronald Reagan, the big-hearted guy that he was, had put a lockdown embargo on medicine to Nicaragua because he didn't like the government that the people there had elected. Ronnie grinned and cracked jokes while the young woman's lungs filled up and she stopped breathing. Reagan flashed that B-movie grin while they buried a mother of three. And when Hezbollah terrorists struck and murdered hundreds of American Marines in their sleep in Lebanon, the TV warrior ran away like a whipped dog, then turned around and invaded Grenada. That little Club Med war was a murderous PR stunt so Ronnie could hold parades for gunning down Cubans building an airport. I remember Nancy, a skull and crossbones, prancing around in designer dresses, some of the gifts that flowed to the Reagans, from hats to million-dollar homes, from cronies well compensated with government loot. It used to be called bribery. And all the time, Grandpa grinned, the grandfather who bleated on about family values but didn't bother to see his own grandchildren. The New York Times today, in its canned obituary, wrote that Reagan's projected, quote, faith in small-town America and old-time values. Values my ass. It was union busting, a declaration of war on the poor and anyone who couldn't buy designer dresses. It was the new meanness, bringing starvation back to America so that every millionaire could get another million. Small town values, from the movie star of the Pacific Palisades, the Malibu mogul, I want to throw up. And all the while, in the White House basement, as his brain boiled away, his last conscious act was to condone a coup d'etat against our elected Congress. Reagan's defense secretary, Casper the Ghost Weinberger, with the crazed colonel, Ollie North, plotted to give guns to the monster of the Mideast, Ayatollah Khomeini. Reagan's boys called Jimmy Carter a weenie and a wuss, although Carter wouldn't give an inch to the Ayatollah. Reagan, with that film fantasy tough guy con in front of the cameras, went begging like a coward cockroach to Khomeini, pleading on bended knee for the release of the hostages. Ollie North flew into Iran with a birthday cake for the maniac mullah, no kidding, in the shape of a key, the key to Ronnie's heart. Then the Reagan roaches mixed their cowardice with crime, taking cash from the hostage takers to buy guns for the Contras, the drug runners of Nicaragua, posing as freedom fighters. I remember as a student in Berkeley the words screeching out of the bullhorn. Quote, the governor of the state of California, Ronald Reagan, hereby orders this demonstration to disperse. And then came the tear gas and the truncheons. And all the while, that fang-hiding grin from the Gipper. In Changuitio, all night long, the farmers stayed awake to guard their kids from attack from Reagan's Contra terrorists. The farmers weren't even Sandinistas, those commies that are cracked-brained president told us were only a 48-hour drive from Texas. They hell what they want with Texas anyway. Nevertheless, the farmers and their families were Ronnie's targets. In the deserted darkness of Changuitio, the TV blared. Weirdly, it was that third-rate gangster movie, Brother Rat, starring Ronald Reagan. Well, my friends, you can rest easier tonight. The rat is dead. Killer, cowardice, coward, con man, Ronald Reagan, goodbye, and good riddance. Here's what track for ya, straight from Ray Charles.
Some cash and let the good time roll now. I'm talking about the good times. Well, it makes no difference whether you're young or old. All you got to do is get together and let the good time roll out.
in town. I got a dollar and a quarter and I'm just running the clock. But don't let no female play me cheap. I got 50 cents more than I'm gonna keep. So let the good time roll now. I tell y'all I'm gonna let the good time roll now. Well, it don't make no difference if you're young or old. All you got to do is get together and let the good time roll. Yeah, no matter whether, rainy weather, if you want to have a ball, you got to get yourself together. Oh, get yourself under control. Oh, let the good time roll.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, let the good times roll. With Ray Charles. Rest in peace, Ray. But then there's Reagan. And seems to be the theme of the evening. I just can't help laughing about it here, because, you know, like I said, you know, and if you've turned on the television or heard corporate media, you've heard about good old Ronnie who faced down the Soviet Union and ended the Cold War. And, you know, even some people on the left or some, I don't know, liberals are pretty far right as far as I'm concerned, but some feel-good liberals are jumping on and, yeah, even though he was a bad guy, he sure faced down that Soviet Union, brought the Cold War to its knees and tore down that wall because he's such a tough guy. Well, I've read from William Bloom's Killing Hope before on my show, and here's William Bloom's response to that claim. Reagan didn't end the Cold War. The Myth of the Gipper by William Bloom. Ronald Reagan's biggest crimes were the bloody military actions to depress social and political change in El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Afghanistan. But I'd like to deal here with the media's gushing about Reagan's supposed role in ending the Cold War. In actuality, he prolonged it. Here's something I wrote for my book, Killing Hope. It has become conventional wisdom that it was the relentlessly tough anti-communist policies of the Reagan administration with its heated-up arms race that led to the collapse and reformation of the Soviet Union and its satellites. American history books may have already begun to chisel this thesis into marble. The Tories in Great Britain say that Margaret Thatcher and her unflinching policies contributed to the miracle as well. The East Germans were believers too. When Ronald Reagan visited East Berlin, the people there cheered him and thanked him for his role in liberating the East. Even many leftist analysts, particularly those of a conspiracy bent, are believers, but this view is not universally held, nor should it be. Long the leading Soviet expert on the United States, Georgi Arbatov, head of the Moscow-based Institute for the Study of the USA and Canada, wrote his memoirs in 1992. A Los Angeles Times book review by Robert Schmier summed up a portion of it. Arbatov understood all too well the failings of Soviet totalitarianism in comparison to the economy and politics of the West. It is clear from this candid and nuanced memoir that the movement for change had been developing steadily inside the highest corridors of power ever since the death of Stalin. Arbatov not only provides considerable evidence for the controversial notion that this change would have come about without foreign pressure, he insists that the U.S. military buildup during the Reagan years actually impeded this development. George F. Kennan agrees. The former U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union, the father of the theory of containment of the same country, asserts that, quote, the suggestion that any United States administration had the power to influence decisively the course of a tremendous domestic political upheaval in another great country on another side of the globe is simply childish. He contends that the extreme militarization of the American policy strengthened hardliners in the Soviet Union. Thus, the general effect of Cold War extremism was to delay rather than hasten the great change that overtook the Soviet Union. Though arms race spending undoubtedly damaged the fabric of the Soviet civilian economy and society even more than it did the United States, this had been going on for 40 years by the time Mikhail Gorbachev came to power without the slightest hint of impending doom. Gorbachev's close advisor, Alexander Yakunov, Yakovlev. When asked whether the Reagan administration's higher military spending combined with its evil empire rhetoric forced the Soviet Union into a more conciliatory position, responded, "It played no role. None. I can tell you that with the fullest responsibility. Gorbachev and I were ready for changes in our policy regardless of whether the American president was Reagan or Kennedy or someone more liberal. It was clear that our military spending was enormous and that we had to reduce it." Understandably, some Russians might be reluctant to admit that they were forced to make revolutionary changes by their archenemy, to admit that they lost the Cold War. However, on this question... lost a page there. On this question, we don't have to rely on the opinion of any individual, Russian or American. We merely have to look at historical fact. From the late 1940s to around the mid-1960s, it was an American policy objective to instigate the downfall of the Soviet government as well as several Eastern European regimes. Many hundreds of Russian exiles were organized, trained, and equipped by the CIA, then sneaked back into their homeland to set up espionage rings, to stir up armed political struggle, and to carry out acts of assassination and sabotage, such as derailing trains, wrecking bridges, damaging arms factories and power plants, and so on. The Soviet government, which captured many of these men, was of course fully aware of who was behind all this. Compared to this policy, that of the Reagan administration could be categorized as one of virtual capitulation. Yet, what were the fruits of this ultra-tough anti-communist policy? Repeated serious confrontations between the United States and the Soviet Union in Berlin, Cuba, and elsewhere, Soviet interventions into Hungary and Czechoslovakia, creation of the Warsaw Pact and direct reaction to NATO, no glasnost, no perestroika, no only pervasive suspicion, cynicism, and hostility on both sides. It turned out that the Russians were human after all. They responded to toughness with toughness. And the corollary? There was for many years a close correlation between the amicability of U.S.-Soviet relations and the number of Jews allowed to emigrate from the Soviet Union. Softness produced softness. If there's anyone to attribute the changes in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe to, both the beneficial ones and those questionable, it is of course Mikhail Gorbachev and the activists he inspired. It should be remembered that Reagan was in office for over 4 years before Gorbachev came to power and Thatcher for 6 years. But in that period of time, nothing of any significance in the way of Soviet reform took place despite Reagan's and Thatcher's unremitting malice toward the communist state. William Bloom is the author of Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II, Rogue State, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower, and West Bloc Dissident, A Cold War Political Memoir. He can be reached at bbloom6@aol.com. I've never tried that email address. I don't know if it'll work for him. So yeah, Reagan's the great communicator and well-loved and the great celebrity. His humor is being remembered. He's being remembered as a great American. But in case you need a little quick review on what the Iran-Contra scandal was, he claims he doesn't remember anything about it. But just in case, the deal was we were supporting Saddam Hussein in Iraq, giving them chemical weapons. We were supporting the government of Iran in their war against Iraq. The two countries were at war. We were supporting both sides. When Saddam found out about that, that's why he broke with the U.S. But in order to delay and keep the freeing of U.S. hostages, and in order to present it as a victory for himself, Reagan, through secret negotiation, he agreed to have their release delayed until he was president. The hostages were released, and in return, Iran got weapons. Iran got arms to fight Iraq. Now, this also entailed some payment. And the money that was used, that was received, the huge profits from these arms sales, were used to fund a fascist military death squad known as the Contras, an army dedicated to overthrowing the government of Nicaragua. In the course of that war, the International Criminal Court convicted Reagan and presidential advisors of international terrorism. Thus, Ronald Reagan is the only president, only U.S. president, ever convicted in an international world court as an international terrorist. Lovely. Have some respect for good buddy Ronald. We'll see. Here's another song for my good buddy Ronald from my good buddy Ray. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm DJ Danielson. I'm going to be bitching about Ronald Reagan for another hour or so. If you need the antidote to the eulogizing and ass-kissing that's going on corporate radio, corporate media, television, in your churches, in your bookshops, in your libraries, on street corners, stay tuned. This is Free Radio.
Test this out right quick on your app. Now keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shirt. So y'all get nice about it. All right. Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all all right? Let's see how y'all groove to this.
Tell him, come on, help you come get on.
say no, but turn right around and ask me for some ass. Oh, whoa, whoa, hold up, listen, partner, I ain't no cheap thrill. Cause Miss Badu's always coming for real. You know the deal, nigga. Every time we go somewhere, I gotta reach down in my purse to pay your way and your homeboy's way, and sometimes your cousin's way. They don't never have to pay, don't have no cause. Hang around in bars, try to hang around with stars. Like Badu, I'ma tell you the truth, showing proof, booking. Call him and tell him, come on, help you get your shit.
Come on,
you need to call Tyrone.
Call him.
Hold on. But you can't use my phone.
Way out on the outskirts of town, I'm gonna move, baby. Way out on the outskirts of town, you see, I don't need nobody always hanging around. Let me tell you, honey, we're gonna move away from here. I don't need no ice man. I'm gonna get you a Frigidaire when we move. Way out on the outskirts of town. Oh, you see, we won't need nobody. Always hanging around. Funny as can be, if we have a dozen children, you know they all better look like me when we move. Way back of town. Oh, 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 we won't need nobody. Always. Nobody, baby, oh, always hanging around.
listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is DJ Daniel Sun doing a little bit of Ray Charles and Ronald Reagan theme show. Ray and Ronnie hanging out with Daniel Sun. That was I'm Gonna Move Way Out on the Outskirts of Town. And so that's the Ray, and here's the Ronnie. This is posted on counterpunch.org by Phil Gasper. Goodbye and good riddance. Ronald Reagan has finally died at age 93. Predictably, politicians from both major parties have issued gushing tributes to this venal and vicious man who is happy to slash workers' wages, see families thrown onto the street, support sadistic death squads, and bomb other countries, if this was in the interests of the American ruling class. Meanwhile, if recent history is any guide, the mainstream media will steer well clear of providing an accurate portrayal of Reagan, the man, and the president. Last year, in a stunning act of cowardice, CBS canceled its much-publicized docudrama about Ron and Nancy, the Reagans, caving into a campaign by the Republican National Committee, right-wing radio hosts, Fox News, and conservative internet sites. The movie was instead shown later to a much smaller audience on the Showtime cable network. Conservatives attacked the film for portraying Reagan as homophobic and Nancy as a domineering wife and mother who pulled the strings behind the scenes while abusing her children. While the Reagans was undoubtedly a monumental example of third-rate TV schlock, examples cited by conservatives of substantial inaccuracies didn't hold up. One complaint was that the movie showed Reagan ignoring the AIDS crisis because of its association with gay sex and telling his wife, "They shall live in sin. They that live in sin shall die in sin." It's so ridiculous, I can't even say it correctly. But in real life, Reagan refused to mention AIDS publicly for 6 years. Quick side note, Daniel-san here. This sounds a little bit like Bush, G-Dub, who never once mentioned, said publicly AIDS while governor of Texas. Wow. Maybe he was... there are obvious parallels, you know, and it seems that he was taking notes or something. Anyways, back to the article. Okay, underfunded federal programs dealing with a disease, and according to his authorized biography, Reagan said, quote, "Maybe the Lord brought down this plague because illicit sex is against the Ten Commandments." But in real life, see Everett Koop, Reagan's Surgeon General. He revealed that because transmission of AIDS was understood primarily in the homosexual population and in those who abused intravenous drugs, the advisors to the president took the stand that they are only getting what they justly deserve, end quote. In the movie, Nancy slaps her 5-year-old Dottie Patty. In real life, Patty wrote, "I first remember my mother hitting me when I was 8. It escalated as I got older and became a weekly, sometimes daily event." In the movie, Nancy insists ketchup is a vegetable. It is not a meat, right? So it's a vegetable. In real life, Reagan directed the Department of Agriculture to classify ketchup as a vegetable in September 1981 in an attempt to slash $1.5 billion from the federal school lunch program. Conservatives also criticized the movie for what it did not include. Does it show that he had the longest and strongest recovery in post-war history? Asked Reagan's White House Press Secretary Marlon Fitzwater. What a name, Marlon Fitzwater. Anyways... but Reagan's economic policies were a disaster for working-class Americans. Reagan presided over the worst recession since the 30s, and economic growth in the 80s was lower than in the 70s despite the stimulus of military Keynesian policies, which created massive budget deficits and tripled the federal debt. By the end of the decade, real wages were down and the poverty rate had increased by 20%. The real problem with the Reagans was that it was not too critical of the Reagan presidency, but it was largely uncritical. According to the New York Times, the movie, quote, paints Reagan as an exceptionally gifted politician and a moral man who stuck to his beliefs, often against his advisors' urgings. Reagan was many things, but gifted was not one of them. Poor dear, remarked British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, his closest international ally. There's nothing between his ears, she remarked. As for a moral man, Reagan's morality included union busting, beginning with his dismissal of striking air traffic controllers in 1981, an unprecedented war on the poor, opposition to civil rights, and support for apartheid South Africa. The moral Reagan trained and supported terrorists, including the Nicaraguan Contras, who he called the moral equal of our founding fathers, who killed over 30,000 people and Islamic radicals in Afghanistan, who later formed the Al-Qaeda network. Reagan was also a liar. In November 1986, he publicly denied that his administration had been illegally selling arms to Iran and using the proceeds to fund the Contras. Only 1 week later, he was forced to retract this statement, but denied that the sale was part of a deal to free U.S. hostages. The following year, Reagan admitted that there had been an arms for hostages deal, but denied he knew anything about it. In 1992, that too proved to be a lie, when former Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger was compelled to release notes from a January 1986 meeting revealing, quote, President decided to go with Israeli-Iranian offer to release our five hostages in return for sale of 4,000 TOWs, U.S. missiles, to Iran by Israel. The man whose administration spearheaded class warfare on behalf of the rich, dragged American politics to the right, and rebuilt U.S. imperialism after the Vietnam debacle is dead. Good riddance. Phil Gasper is professor of philosophy at Notre Dame de Nemours University in California. He is a member of the National Writers Union and a frequent contributor to Socialist Worker and ISR, the International Socialist Review. He can be contacted at pgasper@ndnu.edu. That's Notre Dame de Nemours. ndnu.edu. So you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. This is the antidote to corporate media's lionizing of our lost president, Ronald Reagan. On this, a national day of mourning, because we still got a few minutes. Friday at midnight, we will begin the national day of mourning for Ronald Reagan. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. I hope you get to do something fun with your day off. Federal employees, take your day off and smash the state. I'll be announcing some things for you to do on your day off. I'm sure there's something going on. But now I'm going to bitch about Reagan a little bit more. We're going to lose the background music, Modesky, Martin, and Wood, and listen to a real quick little note. This was written by David Korn back in 1998 for The Nation magazine. And it's entitled 66 unflattering things about scum-sucking Ronald Reagan. Now, to date myself here, I was born in 79. I remember when Bush was the VP, and I remember when Reagan was the president. But I know a lot about a lot of these things because I read a lot, but I don't know what some of these are. So I might put a little footnote in here for those of you who want to call in and explain them. But this is just a laundry list of references to the insanity of the 80s and the Reagan regime. So, 66 things to say about Ronald Reagan. 66 unflattering things about scum-sucking Ronald Reagan by David Korn. Okay. The firing of the air traffic controllers, winnable nuclear war, recallable nuclear missiles, trees that cause pollution, Elliot Abrams lying to Congress, ketchup as a vegetable, colluding with Guatemalan thugs, pardons for FBI lawbreakers, voodoo economics, budget deficits, toast to Ferdinand Marcos, public housing cutbacks, red-baiting the nuclear freeze moment, James Watt. The nuclear freeze movement, excuse me. Next, getting cozy with Argentine fascist generals, tax credits for segregated schools, disinformation campaigns, homelessness by choice, Manuel Noriega, falling wages, the HUD scandal, air raids on Libya, constructive engagement with apartheid South Africa, United States Information Agency blacklists of liberal speakers, attacks on OSHA and workplace safety, the invasion of Grenada, assassination manuals, Nancy's astrologer, drug tests, lie detector tests, Fawn Hall, female appointees, 8%. Mining harbors, the SNL scandal, 239 dead U.S. troops in Beirut, Al Haig in control, silence on AIDS, food stamp reductions, debate gate, White House shredding, Jonas Savimbi, tax cuts for the rich, quote, mistakes were made. Michael Deaver's conviction for influence peddling, Lynn Nofziger's conviction for influence peddling, Caspar Weinberger's five-count indictment, Ed Meese, you don't have any suspects who are innocent of a crime, Donald Reagan, women don't understand throw weights, education cuts, massacres in El Salvador. Finally, the bombing begins in 5 minutes, $640 Pentagon toilet seats, African-American judicial appointees at 1.9%. Reader's Digest, CIA-sponsored car bombing in Lebanon, more than 80 civilians killed. 200 officials accused of wrongdoing. William Casey, Iran-Contra, facts are stupid things. 3x5 cards, the MX missile, Bitburg, SDI, Robert Bork, Naps, Teflon. David Korn is author of The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception. So, if anyone can tell me who Donald Reagan, women don't understand throw rates. I don't know what that means. And I forget what, who's Jonas Savimbi? Jonas Savimbi? I don't know. How about Debategate? I don't remember that one. But I know about the SNL scandal and Neil Bush and billions and billions of dollars transferred in the bailout. I know about striking air traffic controllers. I know that one of the biggest cheerleaders for the U.S.'s cozy relationships with apartheid South Africa was Dick Cheney. He voted against, in fact, Cheney voted against a resolution calling for the freeing of Nelson Mandela. Yep. I thought it would do damage to our relationships. So, welcome to hell, Ronnie. You got plenty of company. All your buddies are there. And yeah, this 200 officials accused of wrongdoing. I heard another statistic earlier that was 138 Reagan administration, Reagan regime officials had been convicted or accused or tried, investigated for criminal misconduct during the 8 years of the administration. Now, I'm not very good at math, but 138 government officials, 138 employees of your organization, 138 men and women in your little inner circle, break that down over 8 years, and, you know, that's a pretty large amount. That's a few every, it's a conviction or an investigation every week, just about here, so. That's Reagan. I got one more for you. Then we'll get back to some tunes, all right? This is a posting to Santa Cruz Indie Media. A media that addressed Ronald Reagan on bended knee is again reinventing the late president as a jovial fellow who is widely loved by Americans. CBS National Affairs correspondent Mark Knoller, this is the one I hear on the radio, said it was clear that Reagan had a special place in the hearts of Americans since he committed the rare feat in modern times of winning 2 terms as president. A rare feat? Bill Clinton was reelected, and there's no way his death would lead to the national media claiming he was widely loved. Nixon won twice, and nobody portrayed his 49-state victory in 72 as a sign of popular affection. The day-to-day lies about Ronald Reagan have reemerged, which is why we feel obliged to set a few things straight. Reagan won election over incumbent Jimmy Carter in a race that was closer than it looked and that was ultimately swung by low voter turnout among the Democratic base. Okay, stepping away from this article for a moment, I don't believe that this was a legitimate election in the first place, and any close election in which that was ultimately swung by, quote, low voter turnout sounds like more good old boy network rigging elections in the South bullshit to me. If we talk about American elections and the great democracy that we have, we can just rule out any election before the Civil Rights Act of 68 as being anything close to legitimate, because you know, anything before the Women's Suffrage Act included less than half of the population. You know, the last group post suffrage, women's suffrage, to receive the vote was Native Americans, so they had never participated in elections before. We obviously know that through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, African Americans were denied the right to vote, you know, pretty consistently, and that wasn't necessarily corrected by the Voting Rights Act of 68. And we know that the 2000 election was a falsehood. So the only window for the possibility of any kind of legitimate democratic process in the United States of America would be between the elections of 68 and 96. So you can go into each of those elections, and here's, you know, one of them. Reagan winning in a against incumbent Jimmy Carter in a race that was closer than it looked and that was, quote, ultimately swung by low voter turnout. And, you know, you can say what you want. I don't think we have a democracy. Caller, wait just a second. I'm almost done. You can call back in just a second. Is that cool? Is that cool? All right. Back to the article, then I'll answer your call. Whew. Okay, so the media loves celebrity politicians, and Reagan got the sort of media reverence now on display with Arnold Schwarzenegger. This adoration of the B-movie actor-turned-governor-turned-president enabled him to engage in conduct like the illegal sending of weapons to the Nicaraguan Contras that should have brought about his impeachment. Reagan's legacy? The massive redistribution of wealth from the poor and middle class to the rich, which he accomplished through massive tax cuts for the wealthy. Reagan all but killed off federal housing funding, paving the way for homelessness to remain a persistent problem in America 2 decades later. Reagan refused to mention the words AIDS, and his delayed response to the epidemic caused tens of thousands of avoidable deaths. Reagan sent American weapons to thugs seeking to overthrow the democratically elected Sandinista government in Nicaragua. Despite a congressional ban on such weapon transfers, he was directly responsible for the murder of thousands of Nicaraguans, and that nation's continued poverty is a legacy of the Reagan-backed wars. Reagan sent weapons to prop up El Salvador's phony democratic government and indirectly supported the death squads that preyed on human rights activists and workers seeking to impose real democracy in that land. Reagan pushed for the destruction of federally funded legal services, arts and humanities, and volunteer programs such as the then activist-oriented VISTA program. What programs Reagan could not kill, he weakened. And Reagan's environmental record may actually have been worse than George W. Bush's, impossible as that seems. Reagan threw billions down the tubes in a failed attempt to create a Star Wars missile defense system. Reagan's 1981 tax cut plan was the major force for gentrification and displacement in urban America during the 1980s, as it provided unprecedented tax incentives for real estate speculation. In a not unrelated impact of the measure, savings and loans faced collapse around America, resulting in a multi-billion-dollar taxpayer bailout of the SNL industry. The list of Reagan wrongs could go on and on. This is a man who held a press conference eating grapes during the UFW grape boycott. Reagan called the farm workers, quote, outside agitators. This is a man who held his campaign kickoff for the presidency in 1980 in Philadelphia, Mississippi, the site where three civil rights workers were murdered in the 60s. Reagan chose this site not to highlight the abuses of racism, but to send a message that he would do his best to bring a return of the old ways to the South. Ronald Reagan was responsible for more evil and destruction than any American of his generation. May he rest in peace. Posted by Paul Hogarth to santacruz.indymedia.org on the thread, on the discussion thread, on the news article. Reagan dead at 93. Former resident Ronald Reagan dies. A 93-year life of lies and deceit ended yesterday as Ronald Reagan's heart stopped pumping blood through his body. I shudder thinking of what tributes will endure in the coming weeks, and I'm slightly unnerved at the continuing strange, uneasy feeling that grips me when I speculate on the reaction that will come from any criticism of the man. So if you're interested in hearing more criticism of the man, stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, because that's what I do here. Welcome to the Gringo Boycott.
Radio Free Santa Cruz. Music should be free, and so should radio.
Hello there, this is Tom Morello from Audio Slave, and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Which radio station's got the guts to play positive stuff?
The People's Radio.
Which radio station's got the guts to stand up?
The People's Radio.
Which radio station's got the guts to be tough?
The People's Radio.
Which radio station's got enough?
The People's Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz on 101.1 FM, freakradio.org.
gonna send you back to Arkansas. Oh, yes, ma'am. You don't do right. Don't do right. Oh, play it, boy. See me in misery. Come on, baby, see about me now. Yeah. Hey, hey, all right. See the girl with the red dress on. She can do the burlesque all night long. Yeah, yeah. What I say.
Y el mal gobierno anuncia guerra y destrucción. De hecho, tierra, trabajo, pan, salud, educación, independencia, democracia, libertad. Estas fueron nuestras demandas en la larga noche de los 500 años. Estas son, hoy, nuestras exigencias.
Live from the Radio Bimba Sound System album, En Vivo, with Manu Chao. I want to read one more thing, and then I'm going to take off in a little bit, on this, the National Day of Mourning, for Mr. Ronald Reagan. Alzheimer's, man. Alright, so, remember when someone tried to kill him? Remember when John Hinckley, or John W. Hinckley Jr., allegedly shot Reagan? So in 1981, the Associated Press reported this story from Houston. Bush's son had dinner plans with Hinckley brother before shooting. Scott Hinckley, brother of John W. Hinckley Jr. who allegedly shot Reagan, was to have dined tonight in Denver at the home of Neil Bush, one of the vice president's sons. So some of these things are going to sound a little out of place as they were written on March 31st, 1981. But here goes. The family of the man charged with trying to assassinate President Reagan is acquainted with the family of Vice President George Bush and had made large contributions to his political campaign, the Houston Post reported today. The newspaper said in a copyright story, Scott Hinckley, brother of John W. Hinckley Jr., who allegedly shot Reagan, was to have dined tonight in Denver at the home of Neil Bush, one of the vice president's sons. The newspaper said it was unable to reach Scott Hinckley, vice president of his father's Denver-based firm, Vanderbilt Energy Corp., for comment. Neil Bush lives in Denver, where he works for Standard Oil of Indiana. In 1978, Neil served as campaign manager for his brother, George W. Bush, the vice president's oldest son, who made an unsuccessful bid for Congress. Neil lived in Lubbock throughout much of 1978, where John Hinckley lived from 1974 through 1980. On Monday, Neil Bush said he did not know if he had ever met 25-year-old John Hinckley. I have no idea, he said. I don't recognize any pictures of him. I just wish I could see a better picture of him. Sharon Bush, Neil's wife, said Scott Hinckley was coming to their house as a date of a girlfriend of hers. I don't even know the brother. From what I know and what I've heard, they, the Hinckleys, are a very nice family and have given a lot of money to the Bush campaign. I understand he was just the renegade brother in the family. They must feel awful, she said. The dinner was canceled, she added. George W. Bush said he was unsure whether he had met John Hinckley. So, conspiracy theories abound. The Bush crime family exposed. Yeah? That's a new book by Russell S. Bowen. The Immaculate Deception, The Bush Crime Family Exposed. You know, the deeper you dig about Buddy Bush and the things he's done and the things going back into, what Daddy Bush did and what where their money came from, selling steel to the Nazis and developing oil all over the world. Some good business. It's good for your morality to sell Nazis steel. Blah, blah, blah. All right, this is the part where it gets a little too late for me to talk, so I'm probably just going to play some tunes and split in a little bit. If you have anything to say, give me a call, 427-3772. We're going to hear from Paris. We're going to hear from Seoul. We're going to hear from Qbert, DJ Qbert. We're going to hear from Bill Withers. So yeah, stay tuned to Free Radio. Stay tuned all night. I'm going to put on some interesting lectures and such. I'll throw some stuff on, let you know what I'm going to program, and talk to you one more time. So stay tuned. Free Radio gives you all the nutrition you need.
Get wicked and then some, stir up shit as the wit gets wisdom. People coming up, I'm straight low, pro-black and it ain't no joke. Coming straight from the mob that broke shit last time, now I'm back with a brand new sick rhyme. So blackjack time and tempo, revolution ain't never been simple. Following the path of my own phenomenon, just build your brain and we'll soon make progress. Paid your dues, don't snooze or lose. They came with the master plan and got you. So know who's opposed to the dominant dark skin. Food for thought is a law for the brother man. Never meant, nigga, please, food stamps and free cheese can't be the cure for a sick disease. Just the way the devil had planned it, raped and pillaged everyone on the planet, and give them fake gods at odds with all law. Love thy enemy and all that hoopla. Here close the words I wrote. Crack cocaine is genocide of black folk. Who in their right mind ever could have missed this? Damn right when you think seditious. And I move swiftly, they can't get with me. The 666 move quick but miss me. When I came off involved in conscience, so don't ask why next time I start this. get wild. Allow me to freestyle and build and fill your mind up with know-how and common sense and defense. The next time a pig try to step to this, listen, never let someone whoop on you. They don't belong to the set you from you. Can't be intrigued by the leads a pig lead unless you don't give a fuck to be free. Keep stomping on them, keep stomping. Attitude, but I ain't from Compton. I can't be fucked around, I'm muffed around. I can't be held down, check the sound and keep in tune on point on target. The revolution won't be thwarted. A setback cause my man is plain to see, must in a white supremacy. So let the rhythm roll on when I kick this. Brother's gonna work it out with a quickness. And now you know just why our panther went crazy. The devil made me.
Ding Dong Burgers to ask real Ding Dong Burger eaters what they think of the new Ding Dong King Kong Sing Song Burger.
It's great.
It's so big. It's fucking great.
How about you folks?
Yeah.
I can feed the whole family for under $20.
And with the price of beef going through the fucking roof, that's a deal.
Fellas?
This cocksucker dragged me down here. I don't know.
Just eat the fucking thing.
Fuck you, asshole. Fuck. This little motherfucker's tasty.
Told you, fucking ass.
Ding Dong Burgers, a Globochem company.
Take it from me. I love you.
Has that flag-waving, cheerleading, rah-rah bullshit stopped or died down at all? Really? It's still going? It's fucking, oh, what a bummer that shit is. Oh, I get it. The first, like, week, I get it. I get it, especially when it's, like, you know, firemen around. You wave it at the firemen, you go, yeah. But, I mean, after, like, 4 months, you know, and you see these fucking, you know, trophy wives with their fucking $80,000 Lexus SUVs driving around with flags. You're like, shut the fuck up. Stop it. You're just encouraging more bomb. Stop it. It doesn't mean anything to you. It's just a completely empty gesture. It's like, what does that mean to you? It means united we stand. No, I read the bumper sticker. I mean, tell me in your words what it means. It means these colors do not run. No. Okay, yeah, I get it. So, it's just, they're just part of a club. They're just excited to be part of the flag-waving club on their street. Look, we're all waving flags. Ha, 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 ha. Flags, hooray! And it's so fucking such an empty gesture and so full of, like, this crass commercialization. Like, you know, fucking 24 hours after those fucking buildings went down, people all over the country are going, I own a flag distribution thing. Hello. Hello, ribbon money. Hello, flag money. You know, and it was like 3 days later when you couldn't turn on the TV without seeing those fucking infomercials for, like, you know, the Freedom Kit. You know? 12 different size flags you can stick everywhere. The Freedom Kit for $14.99. And then upgrade for $10. Get the Patriot Pack. 10 different flags. 10 more flags. 10 bigger size flags. Be a better patriot than the people who get the Freedom Kit. Outdo your neighbors in patriotism. Let them know you're better than the Freedom Kit people. 27 different flags. Stick them on your car. Stick them in your window. Stick them in your office. Stick them on your cubicle. Fucking shove them up your ass. We got special flags to shove up your ass when you're sleeping. No reason not to be a patriot when you're asleep. Come on, don't let those terrorists win. If you don't have a flag sticking out of your ass, the terrorists win. Always have flags. Give your children flags. Everyone should have a flag. All the time, at all times, flags. Eat the flag. Eat it. Special edible flags. Have flags grafted on the inside of your eyelids so all times you have flags. Have flag pills to eat, and then you shit out a flag. That's true patriotism. Don't be asleep on the job here, America. So order today. All flags made by Chinese prison labor. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. How's that for a kind of weird global karmic irony? There are guys, there are dissidents in China making our flags so that people who remain willfully ignorant in this country... These guys, people are in jail for, like, expressing the opinion, like, I'd like to have more papers to read, you know. Yet we live in a country where you actually have access to the news, and nobody wants it. They don't want to get the real news. I'm too busy to get on the Guardian UK website. That's the fucked up thing. I got to read other countries' papers to find out what's going on in my country. That's fucked up. That ain't right. Mm-mm. That shit ain't right. And I don't know for sure. I need my beer for this. I don't know for sure. And I won't know for many years. It's going to be quite a while. But...
with no feedback. Saw me on the street, ask me where the weed at. All the coke I don't sell, they yell, I don't believe that. Set me up, I'm running, breathing like a sleaze sack. Ran into a car and almost bent my knee back. It's better than a sale while my lawyer's fees stack. Ducked into a liquor store, they ask what you do. Wearing FUBU, it was my man on Dooku. The back and toe go through, I said mercy buku. If they ask you was I running, tell them best as I flew. Made it to my block, cleanse to catch a few flicks. Police did a sweep, terrorizing crew shit. Busting doors, feeding mamas while they making cool whip. Face down, getting dirt on my back to school fit. My neighbor that was next to me got black and blue lips. When the fuse lit, you gon' see the view flip. Kick our boot up, they ask them if the shoe fit. Till then, they wanna see us pushing up two lips. Frisk my nuts so much, shit, I think I'm stereo. Got up, brushed the gravel off my apparel. This girl, Cheryl, got parole violations. Said she was high cause of people dilation. If you never got arrested now since infinity, you get searched living in this vicinity. Or harass, beat the shit, I mean the living daylight. Wouldn't be no dope slanging if McDonald's pay right. They target areas of black, Chinese, and Mexican. Mow you down, then notify your next of kin. White sell more cocaine and amphetamines. But the judge is sending up, more than likely credit them. The ruling class shift go to you and me. And don't get arrested, is this lunacy? Or is it pimp low magic immunity? Is it a war on drugs or just my community?
who gets paper and who gets purred? Who gets slapped and who gets served? Now this type of shit get on my last nerve. I think about it in the car and I start to swerve. Who gets paper and who gets purred? Who gets slapped and who gets served? Now this type of shit get on my last nerve. I think about it in the car and I start to swerve. I got a common plot to get the federalis hot. So many cops are running block, get it away too hot. You got a flake in two rocks and DJs in a shoebox. Collar wasn't after two knocks. You heard offenses in the socks. Now this is full of hints.